And thank God if you got saved, mom, daddy, grandma, grandpa, then praise God for that. But brother, thank God we got also a great big family. All kinds of folks. It's good to see you this morning. Won't you stand and take your Bibles and go to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Amen. Oh, by the way, this point's probably going to be elaborated on a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. Brother Neal's touched on it some just a little bit, but listen, sound a minute again. Listen, look here. Listen, what we're going to try to do, I done had the idea about it, I done been thinking about it, but Neal's talked to me some about some things when his presentation he's going to present about the work he's doing downtown, he'll elaborate even some more then. But since he's doing it and touched on it this morning, listen, brethren, I'm going to get some maps of this area. All right? Brother, listen. I can't make you do it. And I'm not going to browbeat you into doing it. That lasts about 2 weeks and everything is back to the way it was. You have to determine to do it. But I'll pray that you'll take and find the area up and down this road and you'll circle it and you'll say, God, I want it. God, I want it. And then work it. Work it. Work it. Brother Jay Jackson, I don't know if y'all remember Brother Jay. Brother Jay Jackson was at his church about 10 years ago. Brother Jackson, up in Ohio, found him a mobile home park, and he said, this is mine. And he worked that thing. And man, God gave him fruit. He saw some folks saved, some folks into church, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and he, listen, he worked it to where he'd deal with them. If he found out they had a need, he'd go try to meet that need for them. He tried to, you know what I'm saying? He worked, he said, this is mine. I'm working this thing. And he did. I'm going to get some maps. Hey, maybe try to put up a map here and you'll circle. But I pray that you do it. That you take that area and say, I want this for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to try to win these folks for God. I want to try to get gospel tracts to them, visit them. Maybe I can be a help to them. Maybe I can run an errand for them if they needed it sometime. Maybe I can take and do if they needed something brought to them that I can do something for them. Take an area. Maybe it's a big development. You'll take just a couple of straps. But what I'm saying is, would you do it? Will you do it? God's put us here in a place. And brethren, not just get, but I mean taking an area and dedicate. I don't know, when I was in the Air Force, they had dedicated crew chiefs. You had crew chiefs, but you had dedicated crew chiefs. And they were dedicated to certain aircraft. That was their aircraft. Listen, I mean that you take and that your area. Look here, I tell you what. I'll try to help you. Listen to me. Hey, don't get me wrong. It's my job to go out there also, but listen to me. I'll try to help you if you'll go. Listen, I'll try to be the under-shepherd and help the flock if you'll go. Listen, and reproduce. You know what I'm saying? The shepherd cares for the flock, but he can't produce sheep. Hey, don't get me wrong. You understand the principle I'm saying. I've got to go out also. I know that. But what I'm saying is, go out. Find an area here. Brother, look here. God did not put us here just to have just a building. There's an area that needs to be one of the Lord Jesus Christ. And would you take and get on the map and say, God, you know what happens if you'll do that? You'll pray for it. You'll say, God, help these people. And you'll get to know them people there in that area. You can't, come on, bro, you can't see everybody in the world. You can't see everybody on this road. But you can take an area. Look here, I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring some maps in. I'm going to take, will you do it? And if not, why not? And it'll be worth your while. If you've ever wondered, well, how can I get a burden for souls? There's a way. There's a way. And I know. Look here. I know that. Look here. I know some people are involved in some different things, different ministries, this and other. But look, that maybe you should get a smaller area. But what I'm saying is, let's take and do what we can here. God expects it of us. I want you to stand. Take your Bibles. Exodus 29. Exodus 29. And verse number 5. In Exodus 29, what we're looking at is the consecration of the high priest and then the lower priest, Aaron and his sons. Exodus 29, verse 5. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Father, we thank you for your word. And dear God, I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, may our hearts be open, dear God, to what you give us. And Lord, may we be obedient. Lord, may we not be stiff-necked this morning, but Lord, may we humble ourselves before thee. And Lord, just be obedient and submissive to what you give us. And we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, brethren. Verse 5. These are some things really we've kind of looked at before. I'm just going to go back over them to see some of them again and get something from it. Verse 5. Thou shalt take the garment. Who's the thou? That's Moses. Well, Lord's talking to Moses. It says, and thou, talking about Moses, shall take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. So Moses is going to put these garments upon Aaron. Okay? You say, okay, Moses, what's the big deal? Okay, listen. Later on, Aaron will put these garments on himself. Later on, his sons will put these garments on themselves. But initially, Moses is going to put these garments on Aaron and put these garments on his sons. Take your Bible and go with me, please, to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. You see, now later on, he'll put these garments on himself. But initially, someone else is going to put those garments on Aaron. And brethren, do you realize something? That, listen, you and I, the Bible tells us to put on certain things. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. When you got saved, God did something for you couldn't do for yourself. God put something on you. God did. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and verse 26. Galatians 3 and verse 26. For ye are all the children of God. Now see, if the period was there, that'd be just what the world believes. Everybody's a child of God. But the verse goes on. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Brethren, I don't believe that's water baptism. I believe that's the baptism of the Spirit that the Bible speaks of, the new birth. All right, listen. When you get baptized into Christ, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born in the Spirit of God, you put on Christ. Listen, you put on Christ when you received Him as your Savior. Alright? You are adorned with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God put that on you. Well, listen, when you repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God adorned you with the righteousness of Christ. So that God can now look at you and say, accepted. Accepted. God could look at you and say, I no longer see Jonathan Doss or insert your name in the blank there. I see my son. I see the righteousness of my son, and you're accepted. You put on Christ. When you receive Christ, you put on Christ. God adorns you with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians 3. Now, I pray that that's happened to you. Listen, no time for fooling around. Listen. When God sees you, what does He see? When God sees you, what does He see? He either sees you in your own self-righteousness, your own unrighteousness, or He sees the blood of His Son, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What does God see when He sees you? When He looks down from heaven, what does He see? If you've trusted His Son as your Savior, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your sin bearer, as your substitute, as your atonement, then God sees Christ. And you are adorned with the righteousness of Christ. And you're accepted. If not, He sees you and you're separate from God. You've got to know the answer to that question. What does God see when He sees you? The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Praise God. If you're saved, you're hid, man. God doesn't see you anymore. He sees Christ. He sees Christ. But isn't that a blessing? Man, see, when you're in Christ, brother, I can't go to hell. I've done been there. Amen, preacher. You're exactly right. That's why it's hell. I'm not talking about that. It's not that. No, I've been there. Man, I'm out of here. Well, you want a mystic trip? Those you know, that's, no! In Christ, I've been there. Don't you understand, brethren? I'm in Him, He's in me. I am accounted as having gone through everything He went through. But I've done been beat. I've done been spat upon. I've done gone to hell. And I've done got up in Him. And if you don't get it, you better ask God to help you get it. Because, brother, look here. If you're saved, listen, that's your grounds, man. That's the only grounds to help you keep your sanity, keep losing your mind. When the devil beats the tar out of you, and you look at your flesh, and you see how bad you are, you've got to come back to that ground and say, praise God, I'm there, though. I'm done. It's accepted. I didn't say what you feel this morning. I say what is a fact. I'm not asking you to feel this. I'm asking you to believe it and accept it as such. It's a fact. If you're saved, if you're in Christ, you've done what He's gone through, you've gone through in Him. God ain't gonna double dip on you. Christ has done took it for you. You done gone to hell to raise again. Father, listen, we're in Him, He's in us. You're seated there with Him, heavenly places. All we await is the redemption of the body. We'll finally be free someday of this thing here that just is so rotten. It is so wrong. I don't care how you fix it up. I don't care how you try to, get it to look good, smell nice, and how you pander it up. It's rotten. It's rotten. And someday we're going to get a new body that'll be right the way it's supposed to be. So now listen. Moses put those garments on them. And I pray that God has adorned you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Has He? You've got to know that. And listen, now later on, Aaron's going to put those garments on himself. And hey, later on, the Bible speaks of to put on. You know, there's certain things that the believer is to put on. Colossians speaks of that. But we're not going to look at that, though, this morning. Go back to Exodus 29. Go back to Exodus 29. Let me tell you something, brother. You got quite a deal when you got saved. And don't you see what the devil wants to do? See, he wants to keep you defeated. You can't do anything if you're defeated. If you're down, if you're discouraged, you can't do anything. Just kind of drag and pull yourself along. You can't do anything forward. The grounds of your victory, the grounds of your joy is what you have in Jesus Christ. Now, as soon as you try to take those grounds, you know something? If you have given those grounds over to the devil, he's not going to give them back easy. If you've given over to where you've allowed the devil to discourage you, get you down, look at how bad you are, get you down, I'm so bad, I'm so rotten, I'm so bad. Well, praise God, we are. But what keeps me going is what I have in Jesus Christ. It's what I have in Him. Alright? Listen, and listen, brethren, do you think there's any way I could sing this morning if I dwelt on how rotten I am? I have to dwell on what He's done for me and what I have in Him. But you know why we don't often avail ourselves of it? Now let's everyone be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. The reason we don't avail ourselves of that at all times is because we kind of like to indulge ourselves in pity and sorrow. Let's be honest with ourselves. Hey, listen, come on. When you have things going on and you're kind of down and then you get attention. Hey, what's wrong? You know, and we all like attention. To our brethren, look here. We need to get beyond that and say, oh God, help me to see what I've got in You and be joyful in You and realize the fullness of what I have in Your salvation. All right, look here. Exodus 29. Look at verse number 6. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. That mitre, you know, was the headgear he wore. And then on that was a crown here that said, ooh, in big letters, Holiness to the Lord. Now, brethren, you see, we're talking about the priest. Now, Christ is our high priest. But see, every one of us are lower priests. We're priests now. Listen, God has made us kings and priests. There's the priesthood of the believer. You had Aaron, the high priest, and his sons, the lower priest. Brethren, Christ is our high priest. We're sons of God through Christ. And brethren, you and I are part of the priesthood of believers. Alright? Now, on this mitre of the high priest, it said, Holiness to the Lord. Now, brethren, there's a lot of attributes of Christ. There's a lot of attributes of God that could have been emphasized. It didn't say, love to the Lord. We're supposed to love the Lord. It didn't say, Merciful is our grace. It said holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. Brethren, you need something. Look here. There is supposed to be, there has got to be holiness in the life of the believer. Holiness has got a bad name today. I mean, devil knows how to do it, man. You know how you wreck a good doctrine? You get somebody to pervert it and attach that name to it.
Right.
That's how you mess up a good doctrine. Alright? You get a good name, you get somebody to mess up or to misrepresent that doctrine, you got the thing all messed up. I mean, come on, brother, you take faith. The believer's supposed to have faith, you know, right? But you get so often with the charismatic movement and such, faith gets a bad name to it. Praise and worship gets a bad name to it. All right? But these are right things. Holiness. Most times you bring up holiness, what most people think of? Man, my Aunt Sue and my cousin Bill are Pentecost. They're holiness, and that's the worst living crowd you've ever seen in your life. Or, if you think of holiness, sometimes here's what you think of. The Hannah bun. The Hannah bun, and you know the dress is real long and everything, but the Hannah bun, and then just the worst scowl you've ever seen on the face toward nothing. There's no joy, there's no happiness. I'm sanctified.
That's right.
I'm sanctified, and people get this idea of holiness. That's right. Then you bring up holiness to some people, and it's like, that's right, holiness. No britches, or women, dresses, and you say, and that's holiness. I think some of that has to do with holiness, but brethren, that's not what we miss. What holiness is really about? I want to show you. I'll try to show you this morning what holiness is really about. Brethren, we're supposed to have holiness in our lives. God's people are to be a holy people because He's holy.
Right.
Well, let's look and see what holiness is, and I'll show you this morning how to produce holiness in our lives. All right, listen to this. Let me define holiness to you. Holiness is defined in the dictionary as this. Check this out. It means purity of heart or disposition, sanctified affections. Piety, which is obedience to God's will and devotion to His service, it means, listen, that which is separated to the service of God. That which is separated to the service of God. You see, brethren, if you're saved, there's a degree of holiness that you automatically have. So what else are you talking about? You're bought with a price. You belong to God now. That sets you apart. You're different. Now that difference only becomes manifest as you walk with God and yield to Him. But listen, you are devoted. Something holy is devoted to God. You're saved. You're bought with a price. The Bible says you're not your own. You are holy to the Lord. But you know what? We get that holiness that should be manifested in our lives so often doesn't take place. We let it get perverted and twisted around. Take your Bible. Let me show you what I mean. Go to Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 2. Brother Doss. And holiness is being, you know, you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do the other and you this certain way and this. Hold on. That's the result of holiness. That's not really holiness, that's the result of holiness. Are you with me? But look here. I take you to different kind of religions. Separated to the max. They're not holy. Brethren, all those kind of things are results of holiness. But that's not what holiness is. Those are results of it. I mean, you know, it's kind of like this. It's kind of a messed up example, but it's the only thing that comes to my mind. You know, look here. Somebody's, and their eyes are running, this, that, and the other. But all that stuff is the symptoms of what they've got. They've got something, and it produces that. When you have salvation and holiness, those things will be produced in your life if you'll yield to it and walk in it. Look here. Jeremiah 2, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Did you check that out? Did you see that? Did you get that? I mean, Israel, the nation, was holiness unto the Lord. Ain't that something? Did you see that? Man, your Bible says when God brought them out of Egypt, Man, that was a precious time from God and them. He brought them out there. They were holiness. As it says, Israel was holiness under the Lord. The whole nation, that's what they were. But what does that mean? It means they were separated, consecrated, devoted unto Him. And brethren, that separation and devotedness became evident as they obeyed the Lord. And God, in their obedience to God, see brethren, they were a holy people when God brought them out. The difference between them and other nations came about because that devotedness that they had for God caused them to obey God. And they would dress different, talk different, because they obeyed what He told them to do. Israel was holiness to the Lord. I mean, look at verse 2. I love this. Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. Boy, you know what happens? Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember when you first got saved? And how sweet it was? Remember how sweet it was? Do you remember the kindness of thy youth? When you first got saved, I mean, it was just so precious, so good, and you just want to serve the Lord and just do for Him, just love Him. The kindness of thy youth. Hey, the love of thine espousals. Boy, you just remember, it was just so close, so good, and the many things you told God, and what you wanted to do for Him, and how you loved Him, and how you appreciated Him. And look, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown, boy, you just went after God, the things of God. Well, what's happened? God's not changed. He's not changed. Listen to me, folks. Holiness is being separated. I want you to get this. Holiness is being separated and yielded unto the Lord. Do you get me? I didn't say being separate so much from the world. There's lots of groups that are separate from the world. It's being separated unto the Lord. You see, when you get in your mind that I have trusted Christ as my Savior, I have been born again, He bought me with His blood, I belong to Him, Lord, I'm devoted to You, You're all that matters. When you yield your body a living sacrifice and you say, God, whatever You want, then how He directs and He does, you'll follow that. You know what happened? You'll be reading your Bible, you'll be listening to preaching and teaching, and the Holy Ghost will say, you know, this is not pleasing to me. You know, this expresses pride in your life. You know, this is, and you'll say, wow, Lord, I can't have any of that. And you'll get that thing right. And it'll change you. It'll mold. You want to be produced in your life? Holiness. And you know what will come with it? Joy. Not a matter of, well, if I'm gonna make it, I gotta conform. I just gotta conform. I gotta go ahead and, you know, and be like everybody else, and I gotta, and just a sour look. No. It's being consecrated to God. And when you're consecrated to God, when you're devoted to Him, you want to please Him. You want to do what He says. And the Holy Spirit can have free reign in your life. You know what He'll do, brethren? He'll do all kinds of things. And see, He'll get at the root of things. Pride. See? Have you ever noticed in your Bible? Well, the Bible doesn't make lists of certain things. God just covers a lot of things just by some great big words. Pride. Arrogancy, evil. You know what? I guarantee you this here. You know what? I guarantee slap to you. If you get honest with God about pride in your life and pride in your dress, you dress the way you're supposed to dress. You don't have to worry about nobody fretting over you about how you're supposed to. You know what? If you get down and say, Lord, help me to not be prideful. See, brother, look here. A lot of times people preach on dress and separation such as that. And somebody just externally does that. You hit pride, He'll take care of it. But because so often the things we do that aren't correct are done because of pride. No, because of pride. A desire to be seen, a desire to be noticed, a desire to this and that. But you know what, brethren? When we'll deal with those issues, other things will get taken care of. But you don't believe it? Look here, let me give you an example. You take Mennonites and Amish. Hey, they got some good things. They got some good things, but I'm going to tell you something. Now you go in there and look, those women will take and they'll wear a certain thing. And by the way, brother, I have no problem with what they wear. I really don't. I don't what they wear. Great. But you know what, brethren? If they've not dealt with pride, there ain't no difference. You know what happened? Don't you know some of them will cock that thing a certain way to give it a little bit of angle for pride? Do you know some of them will do certain things. They'll get away with what they can get away with, even that, to glorify self and to show pride. Don't you see? That's the heart of it. You get that took care of, and things will fall right into place. Listen, brethren, I'll say again. Holiness is being separated and yielded unto the Lord and letting Him purge and cleanse you. Now, brethren, I tell you what, we could take here, man, and we could go a certain route with this thing, and we could go and sit down a list and this and that and the other, and some people would be happy with it, and then other people wouldn't be happy with it, and some would say, well, I'll tell you what, here's what I could do. Man, I could go this route. I could say, all right, now, here's the way it is. You ain't gonna go to this place, you ain't gonna do that, you ain't gonna do the other. And you say, Brother Dolph, how can you do that? Well, it's real easy. Then I just say, I'm your pastor, you're bucking pastoral authority, huh? You're gonna buck pastoral authority. And some of you would hunker down and say, well, praise God, I guess I need to do that, I won't be a rebel. And some of you say, I'm out of here, man, I don't need a dictator, I've been through that stuff before. And then and then some try to pretend to be a mess. But you know what, brethren? If you'll do this, but see, I can't get you to do this. I'm not even gonna try. Oh, shock! I waste time trying to do it. But see, brother, look here. All I got to do is, all I'm trying to do is tell you, and you got to realize that it has eternal consequences. Are you willing to devote yourself lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord Jesus Christ? See, I believe when you got saved, you did. But it's once you pull back sometimes, and you start taking back parts of your life. Are you willing to take and say, God, you bought me, I'm yours. And Lord, I've been kicking against you. And Lord, I want you to do in my life what needs to be done. God, mold me, make me, purge me, cleanse me. Well, brother, don't say that. Are you saved? Read your Bible, man. Read your Bible. Listen to the preaching. Listen to the teaching. Let the Holy Spirit of God mold you and make you and guide you and direct you. And when God convicts you of certain things like that and certain elements of pride, you get the thing taken care of. Man, God will produce in your life what needs to be there. He'll do it. You'll say, hey man, we go through Proverbs on Wednesday nights. Well, we really hit pride a lot of times. Pride and stuff, things like that. That'll take care of things in your life. Man, if you'll have a prayer life, it'll take care of so much stuff in your life. You want to do? It'll get you down. Listen, if you'll dedicate yourself to a prayer life, you know what'll happen? You'll get down there and you'll either find out that you know God or you don't know God, or if you do know God, you're being rebellious against Him. You have to get things right with God if you'll develop a prayer life. I don't mean a petition life. I don't mean a petition life. You know, here's your list and I mean a prayer life. I mean a walk. Listen, let me ask you this morning: where are you at? Where are you at in your devotional life with God? Where are you at? Please, brethren. Please, let's just don't come in here and into this room this morning and just hear some preaching and go our way and go unchanged. Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at in your devotional life? You know, well, brother, this is not where it ought to be. Well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you willing to get down and lay that thing out there and say, God, I'm just not right? God, I'm not right. I confess it to you. I need help. God, help me. And then listen, get in your Bible. Develop a prayer life. And when them doors is, listen, when those doors are open, get here. Get here. You can't make it. Oh, I need your preaching? No, you need the brethren. You need the saints. You need the saints. You need the brethren assembling together. You need the help. You need that. You've got to have that. The Bible says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. I mean, where are you at? Do you realize, brethren, we don't know how much longer it's going to be. The Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Or maybe we go by the way of the grave. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you go by the way of the grave, do you want to be laying somewhere in a hospital room, laying there in that bed, realizing, I would to God I had listened more to what He said. I would to God I had done more. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to be laying there and saying, I have frittered time away, I have wasted time, I am facing eternity, and it just don't matter the things I fill my time with? Listen, brethren, holiness needs to be in the lives of believers, but you can't have holiness in your life unless you've got a devotional life, unless you're consecrated to God. You say, Lord, here I am, lock, stock, and barrel, every bit of me, God, purge me, cleanse me, mold me, make me. And as the Spirit of God says, you know, that attitude's not right. Yeah, you've got to. This is stemming from pride. This is, boy, you'll be glad to get those things taken care of. Because you want to walk and you want to fellowship with Him. Take your Bible real quick. Back to Exodus 29. Just real quick. Exodus 29. Well, boss, I tell you, I'm a different kind of person. I could really do a lot better if you'd make a list for me. Please, sir, please. I can make a, if you'd give me a list and tell me everything I can do, and where I go, can't go, I think I could do that. That's pathetic. You want a shortcut.
Right. Right.
You want spirituality on the cheap. See, you're that kind of person, man, that the booksellers love, man. You want that yellow book that says Idiot's Guide to Spirituality. Spiritualness for dummies. That's what they title them, ain't it? These little quick, concise little things, you know? You forget that. See, you like a little list to fill the box in. You see, because it costs you to take and have a devotional life and to die to self and have a prayer life and have a Bible reading life and come to church and let God mold you. That costs you. It costs you. But that's the only way to have it. Any other way is cheap. It's a shortcut and don't work. Listen, you know what? Listen. Your flesh does not want to die out that much. It won't die out that much where you say, Lord, here am I. God, take me every bit I've got. See, it's easy to fill in a list. It's another thing to walk with God. You do that, things will be like they ought to be. Your attitude will be like it ought to be. Listen, let me ask you something this morning. Did you try to use Jesus Christ as just a fire escape from hell? Or do you love Him? Now, I'm serious. Did you try to use Jesus Christ as a fire escape? Did you try to prostitute our Lord? Are you trying to use Him? Did you try to use Him to get out of hell and then live your own life? Is that it? Or you love Jesus? You love Him? Do you love Him? I mean, ask yourself. Well, Brother Doss, I do love Him. It's not like it ought to be. Well, tell Him. When's the last time you got down and told Him you loved Him, but you know you're rotten, but you want to love Him more? And try to love Him more. He bought you with His blood. He loved you like no one else has ever loved you. But just like we've been hearing and seeing this morning, all that matters in life is knowing Him. Are you trying to take back a part of your life? Are you wanting to, listen, let me tell you something, brother. To have real spirituality, it means putting self on the cross and saying, oh God, teach me, mold me, show me, guide me day by day. And you do that, holiness will be produced in your life. And you know what will also be produced? Or what won't be produced? A judgmental spirit. You'll love folks. You'll pray for them. You'll get self-righteous. You'll love them. You'll pray for them. Brothers, He died on that cross to, the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross to reconcile you and me to God and bring us into a personal relationship. Now, do you have it? Do you have it? Brethren, if you're looking for me to give you out a bunch of guidelines to do not do this and the other, then listen, that makes us no different than the other religions out there in the world.
Right.
No different. Jesus Christ died to bring you into a personal relationship with God through Himself. Christ died to bring you back to the Father, reconcile you to God through the sacrifice of His very self. A relationship. Do you have it? Are you fostering it? Are you building it? Is it there to build? Serious questions and questions. Brother, listen, it's too far in the game to be playing around. And men's souls and men's lives are at stake. You know, brother, I just turned 40 last week or 2 weeks ago. And boy, I mean, I started realizing, man, it ain't no time to be fooling around.
Amen.
It is no time to be fooling around. When we buried my aunt last week, it just seemed like yesterday, you know, that I was little and You know, running around with her, you know, it just you will wake up one day. It's too late. It's too late. And there's things you wanted to do and you meant to do. And you had good intentions. Tick, 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 tick. Your Bible says redeem the time for the days are evil. Tick, 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 tick. What are you going to do with it? Look here. Exodus 29 verse 7. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. You know, Christ, the Bible says that God anointed Christ for the Holy Ghost and went about doing good. But you know what, something? The Bible says you and I have been anointed and you got saved. Real quick, take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 1. Look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now, he who establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Do you realize God has empowered you everything you need to get the job done? Christ was anointed. God anointed Christ with the Holy Ghost who went about doing good. You've been anointed also, that same Spirit. Alright? Sealed on the day of redemption. God has given you what you need to accomplish something for Him. Alright? Only thing God ain't going to do for you is, listen, He is not going to overwhelm your will and make you serve Him. God's not going to make you read your Bible. You know what? But that's what some of you want to do. You want God to make you read your Bible. God won't make you pray, but you want God to make you pray. God won't make you serve Him, but you want God to make you serve Him. So you want God to do it all, but you're not willing to take and die to self and do those things. God will give you strength. He'll give you the help you need. But He's not going to do those things for you. Amen. A couple things here and I'm just about done. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verse 1. Hey, you know how they anointed Aaron, don't you? You know how they did anointing in the Bible? You know how they did it. I was going to tell you anyway. You know, they took that horn of oil, right? They poured that oil, right? Boy, you know what? When you look at the Bible, a lot of the things that consecrated you to God, were, pardon the expression, were some messy affairs sometimes. They really were. Man, you know something? You know what? I mean, man. Can you imagine you put your nice clothes on and somebody coming and taking blood and sprinkling on you? And somebody taking oil and putting it on your ear and then taking and putting blood on your ear behind that thing and on your toe and on your thumb on your toe and wow. And listen, brother, look here. When they anointed Aaron with that oil, we're going to read some of the Psalms. You know, when they anointed Aaron with that oil, it's about like how we want to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. We just want a little bit that doesn't get too messy. We don't like God making our lives messy. God, don't upset my life. God, I want anointing. I want anointing, God, for this time. Get ready to do for you. But Lord, don't make it too messy for me. Keep it to where it's not too messy. From what I'm getting ready to read to you, evidently they took that horn of oil, buddy, and boom, down there and it come, buddy. Look, take your Bible. Look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like... Stop right there. Hey, I don't know about you, but I paid attention a couple of times in English class. And I did learn that when you say it is like, that means what went before is... It's a comparison here. There's a comparison here going on. So listen. For brethren to dwell together in unity... For brethren to dwell together in unity is like, verse 2, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garments. So they anointed Aaron. That went on his head, come down to his beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. Just put it on him there. Alright? Teach him as Aaron. Stop, Moses! Stop! You know, you're the same like we was when me and you grew up together. You always got to overdo things. Yeah. I mean, can't you say, you know, but you, I mean, you know, we like it controlled. You know, Lord, Lord, this is getting a little uncomfortable, you know. Brethren, getting filled with God is going to make your life a little uncomfortable. It'll affect your life. Look, this is head, beard, and down. But now here's the point I want to make. Guess what your Bible says that anointing? Guess what your Bible likens that to? Brethren dwelling together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren dwelling together in unity. It's like the precious ointment. Wow. Now, let's keep our brainwaves going just a little bit longer. That anointing, that oil, that anointing is a picture of the Holy Ghost, right? Church of the Holy Ghost. Boy, we're getting ready to see a cross reference in our Bible here. Because Psalm 133 says that ointment that went down Aaron's head, his beard, down the skirts of his garment. The Bible says when brethren dwell together in unity, it's just like that. It's just like that precious ointment that he got anointed with, which is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Boy, go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look how this thing ties in. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake and forgiving you. Don't you see a corresponding parallel there? We saw Psalm 133 about that ointment being likened to brethren dwelling together in unity. What does your Bible say here grieves the Holy Ghost of God? Well, I guess I can sum it up this way. The saints not getting along with one another. That grieves the Spirit of God. Brethren, we need God's Spirit just to anoint what we do. Brethren, I'll tell you something. Here's what I believe. I believe God worked it out for us to get this place here. And I believe the exact place He wants us to be. I believe that. I just do. And I believe that they'll say, okay. All right. But they won't do it without a fight. So he go try and mess and try to this and try to this and try to get things all, you know. Listen, come on. How many of you this week or how many of you this morning, you don't have to raise your hand, but has had a hard time and fighting some battles in your, hey brother, I'm going to tell you something. Man, this morning, I found myself, I woke up this morning with all my thoughts so distracted. I had to pray and get my mind together and get things, because let me tell you something, brother. The devil's to take and do anything he can to hinder. See, it's like this. Somebody gets a Bible. The devil does not want you to have a Bible. He does not want you to have a Bible. But if he loses that battle and you have a Bible, then he says, no problem. Don't read it. That does not scare the devil. I mean, that don't scare him. My goodness. You know, old folks, you said, you don't want bad dreams, sleep with a Bible under your pillow. Oh, goodness. That is ridiculous. You don't worship that. Not the paper, not the leather, not the cardboard or whatever, you know what I'm saying? That ain't the deal. All right, now. All right, but he don't want you to have a Bible. If you get a Bible, he don't want you to read it. If he loses that battle, his last ace in the hole is as long as you just won't believe it and do it. Okay? He wants you to get it. But if he loses that one, he retreats back to the line of, don't read it. If you read it, his last line of defense is, just don't obey it. Don't believe it. Don't do it. All right? God gets us his building. He probably don't believe that we'll just have this. But we got it. All right? Next thing is, he says, okay, they're there. Let me keep them from showing up. Folks, what in the world use is a church building if you don't have people in it? You got to show up. All right, if you show up, then he says, all right, they got a building, they show up, let's keep them powerless. How do you do that? I'd say the biggest way. Strife and contention among the brethren. Because you know what that does? That grieves the Holy Ghost. See, let me explain something. Don't you understand? When you belong to the Lord, you realize the devil could not take the children of Israel and work. The divination didn't work against them. You couldn't curse that crowd. Do you understand? The devil couldn't smite. The devil couldn't touch them as long as God set the boundaries there. Do you realize that divination couldn't work against them? So what did Balaam tell Balak you got to do? Man, you got to get them to sin. You want to mess that crowd up, you got to get them into sin, then God Himself will get on them. So, what does the devil want to do? Well, if they come together, if there's a body, let's make them powerless. Let's get them so ill that they either won't come to church or they'll be so fed up that they won't do nothing for God. And you know one of the ways He does that? Contention and strife and such as that. Now, brother, look here. I'm closing right here with that. I want you to listen. Thank God for what we've got this morning. I'm glad. It's a blessing to have this building. But my goodness gracious, brother. God did not give us this building right here just so we could all come together and meet for services. He gave us this building to be a point of reference to go out from here to there. That's all this is. It's a place to meet together. You understand? This is not... Understand me. This is not the end. This is the means to an end. This is part of the means to the end. And you know what He wants to do? He wants to stir up things in your heart, get you up to... Hey, listen, we've got decisions to make and this, that, and the other. He wants to stir all kind of things up. You know what you better get your eyes on? The Lord and those people out there. Brother, it should be such that when, hopefully, glory to God, that when somebody stops by and the Spirit of God... You know what I hate? I'd hate for somebody driving by here and the Holy Ghost not be able to tap them and say,
Brother Giles, why would the Holy Ghost do that? I think you preach a fairly decent sermon.
Well, I don't know about that, but that ain't the big thing. Because you know what? Because the Holy Ghost Bible doesn't say, it's dead's door now because there's strife and I can't really bless him there today. I can't. So let's get a gospel track in our path or do something or maybe get somebody down the road to do something, but I can't send them by there today. If I send them by there today, they'll just come out with a bad taste. I thought Christians were supposed to love each other. Why is there a deal? Are you with me, folks? Are you with me? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed under the day of redemption. Let our bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, just want to say this to you. That crown on Aaron's head said holiness to the Lord. Brother, we're supposed to have holiness in our lives. I could make you a list, but it wouldn't be complete. And it really wouldn't be right. I'd miss things. I could have you a list of things I want you to do. Probably my list. A lot of times a preacher's list really don't have to do what God wants it, so other preachers will think he's really preaching a hard message and has a wholly separated crowd. Listen. Get in there with God. If He bought you with His blood, you belong to Him. Yield to Him. Let Him have His way. Walk with Him. You have a devotional life? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study life? How are those things? If they're not like they ought to be, tell God the truth. And get back on there and read that book and pray and walk with God. Let me tell you something. Is there anything in your heart? Is there any bitterness, any kind of strife, any kind of anything going on? Get it resolved. Get it took care of so that the Spirit of God can bless just like that oil that went down Aaron's head, down his beard, and down to the skirts of his garment. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for today. Dear Lord, I appreciate, Father. I'm